Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
For joy, oh yeah, people. It said, when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream dreams. But the sign that we have been delivered is that our mouth is full of laughter. Come on, come on, come on! Yeah. Yeah. Ome falanga ome ozoe. Ome falanga ome ozoe.
You are good, Jesus. You are kind, Jesus. You are wonderful to me. Everywhere I look, your blessings overflow. Jesus, you are my only. People wave their hands and say, "I'm
a night of many revelations. It's the night of engagement. Engagement. Jericho must go down. It must go down. Instead of a shouting, as they shouted, the walls of Jericho. Somebody give God a shout. My God. To do.
Time is a body. God, oh, na na na, oh, God, oh, I saw the living God, oh, even the devil knows, say not true, oh, I saw the living God, oh, everybody knows, say not you did.
Contending for space with her baby. Not to talk of the pain. Not to talk of the threat to the life of the baby. But hear this. Nobody laid hands on her. Nobody anointed her with oil. She carried the word. She engaged the word and got the result. And can I shock you? She's now ministering to people who have fibroids. Because last week Sunday, somebody came with a fibroid. I said, no, when God heals you, he makes you a healer. Because you have become a witness to that dimension. I don't know what you came here with. Jesus is about to shock you. Give the Lord a shout. Who has the final say?
Jehovah. Who has the final say? Everybody!
Jehovah, the final
say. Jehovah, touch my life. He turns my life around. He makes a way.
Wow, wow, wow. You want to give Jesus a big hand and shout for joy? You may be seated. God bless you. We are constrained. I won't talk for more than 20 minutes. Something needs to fall this night. People were dancing to dimensions, dancing to encounters, dancing to liberties. Time is a body. Father, we thank you for the privilege of fellowship. Thank you for the mighty things you are doing with us, in us, and through us. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. Very quickly, I want to take the administrative matters out of our way and then just share a few things so I can make some declarations and then we'll begin to engage it on the altar of praise, of thanksgiving. God is doing so many things. We should thank God every day. The things God is doing is beyond us. And if we are honest, we don't even know how it is happening. January alone, we have won over 26,000 souls. Do you know why I call the numbers? I don't call the numbers just because I want to enter the game of numbers. In our world today, people celebrate cars, but they don't celebrate things that are eternal. And so I want it to become a habit that here we celebrate eternal things. And soul winning is one of the prime things in the heart of God. The Bible said if one soul is won, heaven celebrate. The angels celebrate before the Father. I don't want us to assume soul winning is a casual thing. And so we keep celebrating and declaring it. And number two, we celebrate this because these are destinies being transformed. It's not casual at all. One of these souls can wreak havoc in this generation. And one can also transform this generation depending on the direction the soul navigates to. And so soul winning enterprise is a prime enterprise and we are given to this thing. It takes a lot of prayers, it takes a lot of manpower, and it takes a lot of money to win souls. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. It is free, but it's not cheap. Each of these crusades costs millions. But as we are pressing into it, God keeps enlarging our capacities. That's why I tell you, we don't even know how it is happening. The last crusade in Jos, we spent over 4 million, right? Over 4 million. And we just finished an outreach in Kobe. And next week, we have two more outreaches. And we are going from strength to strength, from glory to glory, by the Spirit. This morning, we were at the mini prison in Kefi and Correctional Center. The word of God came powerfully. They were weeping. And 113 prisoners came, knelt down, received Christ. And while I was there talking, the power of God began to fall on them. The anointing fell on them. They were slain. And strange things happening. There is so much happening in the world. This is why we have to be focused. Somebody said something yesterday that blessed me. He said, when an athlete is running, he's not interested in the praises, neither is he interested in the criticism. He is focused. It's until you cross the finishing line, you don't want to know who is praising you, and you don't want to know who is criticizing you. One of the greatest things we must do in the last day is to stay focused, because we are in the middle of war. This is no time to be casual. Deploy your all to be relevant in God's agenda. Deploy your all. If it's prayer, you can pray, pray. If you have the time to go out, be in the field. If you have the money to sow towards it, sow. But by all means, be relevant in God's agenda, because we are in the last days. You can't afford to be left behind, and you can't afford to be swept off by the wave of carnality of worldliness. God depends on us to do so much, and we have not started. I told my people a time will come when we'll be running 7, 10, 20 outreaches at the same time in different states, in different nations. We will keep bringing the souls into the kingdom and formulate strategies of discipling them. And God will keep being glorified. Because you are hearing this, you are a part of it. You will not be eluded from God's army. You will play your part, and you will receive your reward in the name of Jesus Christ. Why not celebrate Jesus one more time?
The glory, great things He has done.
I just want to share with us in the next 20 minutes, when that long clock hits 9, I will stop talking. So we celebrate Jesus. If you want to hear the word of God in depth, come on Tuesday. That's when we open it layer upon layer, precept upon precept. And from next week Sunday will be a miracle service. So it will be a Sunday of power. Hallelujah. But for tonight, just to share a few things, and I want you to write them. I'll repeat some things I've said before. I want you to write these things. Listen, write these things down, meditate upon them, and practice them. Christians are endangered species. The devil is out to destroy us utterly. The reason we are still here is power. We are not here because the devil is relenting in his battle. If it were possible, everyone naming the name of the Lord would have been annihilated. This is why you can't afford to be a casual Christian. Because if you become a casual Christian, you can become a casualty. Our world is dark. And all the princes in darkness know that we are the light of the world. And so every force, every system, every law, and every spirit that is not of God is fighting so hard to either destroy us utterly or to stop us from fulfilling our destinies as it is written by God. And so when we come to God like we've done tonight, it's not another religious gathering. When we come to God like we've done tonight, is to draw from Him, become more like Him, and to reflect Him, the presence of the devil notwithstanding. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are metamorphosed. We are transformed into the very image of glory that we have seen. And so when we gather like this, is to draw from God and become more like Him, so we can represent Him exactly as He would if He were present. Are we together? And so you need to know how to behold Him. And when you do, behold until you completely become. And so the things we'll be sharing, even this night, are some of the spiritual strands to which God reveals Himself so that a generation can look upon Him. You can behold God through an encounter. The Lord can choose to encounter you in form of light or in form of His voice, like He did Samuel.
like he did Adam in the garden. The Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And so there are persons that have had spectacular encounters, like Paul on his way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, from verse 5 to verse 6. The Bible said Jesus appeared to him in the brightness of light and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That's one channel of encountering him. But that's not the only channel. There's another channel of encountering God. It's through the word. In Isaiah 34 verse 16, it says, "Search ye out of the book of the law and read." It said, "My spirit have gathered it and my mouth has spoken it. Not one of these will fail." And so when we draw of the word and from the word, we are actually interacting and engaging with God himself. He said, "My mouth has spoken it. My spirit have gathered it." Not one of these things will fail. And so when God wants to encounter you, sometimes it's through the instrumentality of the word. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it said, "The secret things belong to God." He said, "But the things that are revealed, they are revealed to us and to our children forever." And when they are revealed, they become our heritage. These are the things that give us advantage in the dark world. The reason we prosper. Take for example, we are spending millions every week and every month. In a time when money is failing, how is it happening? God is empowering people. They are giving to the cause. The partners are giving and they are not growing weaker. The more they give, the more they give. The more they give, the more they want to give. Where are they getting the money from? And why are they prioritizing kingdom? And why are they not getting exhausted in giving? It's not because we are doing something that no other person is doing. Neither is it because we are saying something to swindle them or to motivate them. We hardly speak about partnership here. But there is something at work in these people. They've caught a light. And because they've caught this light becomes an energizer. And so the more they do, the more they want to do. And as they are doing it, they are being blessed. While others are complaining, these ones are moving forward from one level of glory to another. How do people become that empowered? It's because they've caught something from the word. The word is the original sustainer of creation. It said all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It said all things are sustained by the word of his power. And so a man who encounters God through his word would realize his salary is not his sustainer. He will realize his human connections are not his sustainer. There is something at work in him that himself cannot explain. Most of these things we do, if we weigh them, we won't start. The only reason we are about to move forward is because God speaks. We just came back from just spent millions and God said, "Go to the prison." And you don't stroll to the prison to say, "God bless you." When you are coming, they are checking, "What are you bringing?" Because the first gospel you preach to them is love and benevolence. If you have nothing to give, sir, keep your message in your pocket. They will read their Bible and understand. Search ye out of the book of the law and read. And when you have read it, then you begin to engage it. It said in Hebrews 5 from verse 12 to 14, it said, "Whoever uses milk is a babe. He's unskillful in the word of righteousness." It said, "But strong meat belongs to them." Not those who just read and quote. He said, "Who by reason of use." And so the reason we show you the truth of the word is not so that you have it in your head. It's so that you practice it. Who by reason of use have exercised their senses. It is in that exercise that you migrate from facts and rational thinking into discernment. And it's in the realm of discernment you begin to draw from the resources of God. And so tonight, God wants to reveal one of the channels of power and insurance to us in the last day and in the wicked world. If you know these truths and engage them, you will be amazed that your problem is not the darkness around you. Because the Bible said the light shines in the darkness. It said the darkness comprehended it not. So the glory of light is darkness. And so when you lay hold on truth, the things that pull others down become the reason you shine. That's why I said when men are cast down, you will say there's a lifting up. You are not saying it because you are psyched. You are saying it because there is something you know that does not fail. And that thing is the word of God. And so when you begin to study the word of God can come to you as revelation. The word of God can come to you as instructions. The word of God can come to you as a principle. If it's a revelation, it gives you direction. If it's an instruction, it becomes a law to you. If it's a principle, it gives you a platform. And so what we want to share tonight is a principle. And it's beautiful when it's a principle. When it's a principle, it is universal. Anybody who knows it and engages it will receive the same result anywhere, anytime. A man of God, once upon a time, traveled to America. And a white man came to him and said, you are doing well. What are the needs of your ministry? We want to help. He said, our ministry have no needs. That you are spending in dollars does not mean you have more authority. He said, faith is the same currency anywhere, anytime. If you are in America, you succeed by faith, not by dollars. And so even if you are in the Crete of Africa, it is by faith you will succeed, not by naira. And so it doesn't matter the comparison between naira and dollar. Faith is the same currency anywhere, anytime. You don't operate like that except as you have caught something. That's a man who understands principles. In fact, a church comes into rest when they master principles. Every prophetic word will count. Because when you decree, the people are already engaging the principle. The principle becomes a platform for manifestation. And so prophecy thrives with ease. You will struggle in a church where people don't understand the principles of the kingdom and engage it. And so it can come to you as a revelation. It can come to you as an instruction. And it can come to you as a principle. And tonight, there is a principle God wants us to engage. In fact, God gave us that principle as a strategy of invincibility. He told me, every last Sunday of the month, make it a Thanksgiving service. Not because you love to dance. It's because I want to make you invincible. Not because you love praising me. Yes, it's a good thing to praise me. But I want to make you succeed, the devil notwithstanding. And so while you are yet growing, this is a mystery that will sustain you. This is a mystery that will build you up. And so one of the reasons we will be making progress effortlessly is because we have a principle that has become a mystery that we engage. And everyone who receives it and engages it, the same rest and favor and authority we command will become a personal thing domesticated in that person's life. And so that principle tonight is the principle of Thanksgiving. Very simple, but powerful. It's not a mystery because it's mystical. It's a mystery because it is revealed. It's a mystery because it has power to create undeniable results. And so it's not necessarily mystical or the mysticism in the revelation that empowers it. It is the fact that it is God who said it. And because God said it, the credibility of God is invested in it. And so God told us, as we engage the altar of Thanksgiving, things will begin to change and happen supernaturally in the lives of people. Because he said, number one, Thanksgiving is a weapon. It's a weapon. You fight with it. Many people know prayer, and that's all they know. Prayer is very effective. Trust me, it is. But it's not everything you win praying. There are certain other things that are weaved into mysteries that God will show you in order to give you an advantage. The Bible said the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Not because they are foolish in themselves, as it were, but because they know not how to enter the city. And so what you need to deploy a mystery for, if you are praying, you will pray for a long time. I taught you last week on the power of fasting. There are certain things that is only fasting that will move. No matter how you pray, if you don't add fasting, it won't change. And so the devil now knows that your liberty and emancipation is tied to fasting. He now begins to explore your appetite. And so that any day you want to fast, the devil will bring something. Any day you want to wait on the Lord, he will bring something. And because you can't fast, you cannot be delivered. Because the victory is tied to fasting. So there are things that prayer do. There are things that fasting do. But thanksgiving somehow seems to be most universal. Because why in prayer you access God, in thanksgiving God accesses you. The moment you begin to thank God, God shows up. When you start praying, you appear in the realm of God. But when you start thanking God, God shows up. The Bible said God is enthroned in the praise of Israel. It said he inhabits the praise of his people. And so if you don't find the throne of God in heaven, the most likely place you will find it is where praises are going up. Because praises becomes an atmosphere of heaven. This is why praise, thanksgiving, exalting the name of the Lord becomes a weapon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verse 17, 19, and 20, three nations ganged up against a king, and they were obviously numerous and overwhelming that king. There was nothing the guy would have done to be able to win that battle. It would have been impossible to even think about fighting. But suddenly God appeared and spoke through one of the Levites and said, you don't need to fight in this battle. There are battles, if you fight, you will lose, no matter how prepared you are. And so if you find a battle where fighting is not an option, you need to know the mystery you need to engage, not to fight, but to win. And that mystery, many times, is the mystery of thanksgiving. You don't have to fight in this battle. It says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The moment God said that, the children of Israel were spiritually intelligent. They knew what to do to make God fight. And so the moment they heard that prophetic utterance, they didn't go and sleep and say, oh, now God will fight for us. This is the problem believers have. They don't know the mystery that provokes the promise. God has said, I will fight. But there is something you have to be doing while God is fighting. When he told Moses, Israel will win, Moses had to put his hand up. Because there's a physical thing you do that have a spiritual implication. And so the moment God told them, I want to fight, they know what to do to make God fight. And the Bible said, the king said to them, gather all the singers. When God is fighting, you have to be praising. If you are not praising, even if God says it, he won't do it. Because there is something you must do to support the promise. And so he said, gather the singers. And so when you go to war, instead of carrying bows and arrows, carry harps and psaltery and be singing. The Lord is good. His mercies endure forever. And as they were singing, they were energizing the angelic forces. So thanksgiving is a weapon. The problem with believers is they don't know the weapons to deploy. And so instead of thanking God, they are lamenting. Nobody makes progress by complaining. Jesus said, your hair will not even grow in stature by one cubit, complaining or worrying. In fact, when you start complaining, you provoke the anger of God. The reason an 11 days journey became a 40 years journey was because the people were lamenting and murmuring instead of thanking God. And so if you don't thank God, you will not mobilize the greatest weapon of your life. When we are praising God here, don't make the mistake of thinking we are doing it just because we are excited. Yes, most times we are excited. But even the devil knows that whether we are excited or not, we will dance, we will sing, we will jump. Because what we are doing is to sharpen the weapon for the angels to use to fight. Because it's a weapon. And you don't fight by excitement. If you are excited, good. Even if you are not excited, you will keep engaging it. And so the reason you find great people very childlike when they are praising God is because they know the secret. They know that at that moment, you are stirring the integrity of God. You are activating the jealousy of God. And instead of fighting, God now begins to fight on your account. Number two, I taught you here that thanksgiving is an opener of doors. There are many doors that are shut on the journey of destiny. I told somebody, if you think greatness and fulfillment of destiny is a product of prophecy alone, you are joking. No man becomes great without winning battles, without going through doors that were shut. Most of the doors of destiny are shut. You either knock for it to open or you break it open. And many times, you will not find the key to open them. Most of the greatest doors of destiny are broken. They don't open them, they break them. If you are waiting for it to open, the keeper of the key might keep you there for 1,000 years. And so when you are approaching any door, don't bother about the key. Find out how to break it. Because if you want to wait, you will put your future in the hands of another. This is why men who truly make impact always look for mysteries that cause for open doors. And one of the most vital, potent, and efficacious tool of opening door is the tool of thanksgiving and praise. The Bible said in Acts 16:25 that Paul and Silas were beaten, were flogged, were put in prison. Do you know what it means to be beaten? To be flogged with over 39 strokes, your back is aching, and they throw you into prison. They don't even allow you to defend yourself. But they were there, and the Bible said at midnight, He said they prayed and they sang praises. And the Bible added that the prisoners heard them. The moment they began to do it, it was the foundation the angel went for. Because you don't open doors from the foundation. When God goes to the foundation, you know the doors are breaking. They are not opening. The angel went to the foundation and the doors flung open. When the doors open, they didn't run out. Because they know if it has opened, it has opened. Now you are in charge. And so the jailer showed up. He wanted to kill himself. They say, wait, relax. We are here. You didn't keep us here in the first place. From the moment you kept us here, we knew what to do to come out. But we are here because of your salvation. You will think they will run out and go. When you are in charge, you don't run. You walk like a king. And the only time you can walk like a king is when you have engaged the mystery. The door broke open. They led the man to Christ. The man became their doctor and took them to his house to baptize his whole family. When they finished, they strode out of the city. The testimony is not that the door opened. The testimony is that nobody asked, where are the prisoners? Nobody came back to say, where are the people we locked yesterday? The whole city forgot. Because when the angel came down, the foundation of the city shook. And so anybody who rises up will become a victim. And so what happened was that the whole case died. The whole case ended. Because the liberty was not momentary. The liberty was eternal. When a foundation breaks, it's not a momentary liberty. But the power that addresses foundation is the power of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a door opener. I don't know the door shut against you. But as you praise God this night, as you praise God this night, you will be shocked how things can change supernaturally. See, there are two ways God works with men. There is a way God uses called process. There's another way God uses called intervention. Process matures you to give you manifestation. Intervention gives you manifestations to mature you. God can choose to begin from the end, and He can also choose to begin from the beginning. And trust me, it's not everything you need to receive by process. Else, you will be at old age before you receive half of your blessing. There are many things that while you are yet going through process, you need an intervention to secure them. One of such things is open doors. What will you do if your boss is sitting on your promotion? Will you be there and say, when I gain stature, when I become mature, the door will open? And they sit on your promotion for 10 years. You don't need process for that door to open. You need a mystery to open that door. And if the door is not opening, a whirlwind will kick that your boss out of that office. If that kind of power will work in your life, then you need a mystery. And I tell you, the greatest mystery of open doors is the mystery of thanksgiving. It doesn't come with a key. It goes to the foundation. Thanksgiving is a weapon. Can I tell you another thing? Thanksgiving is a multiplier. Sometimes what you have for your destiny is too limited. And God will need to increase your capacities. He will need to increase your propensities. Because if God is dealing with you based on what you have now, it may take 30 years. Have you not seen civil servants who retire from work and their biggest achievement is to build a house? Because that is the much they can get for 30 years. They liquidated their energy. Sucked their mental power, and after 35 years of service, the only thing they can have as an achievement is a building, because they give you enough to be a civilized servant. Meanwhile, the destiny that was written for you is to affect 20 nations. How do you affect 20 nations with 250,000 naira salary? That means a technology of multiplication needs to happen to you, that when you get 100,000, it can become 10 million. And even if it's not 10 million physically, the impact of that 100,000 will translate to 100 million. And so you begin to gain mileage in your destiny, because a mystery is at work in your life. There are persons today that everything they carry diminishes. They can't even explain it, because that's also a mystery. But there are other persons that it doesn't matter what you give them. Give them small, give them big, it's always enough. Because whether small or big, what they work with is multiplication. Jesus was speaking to 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How can you feed 5,000 men? Somebody quickly advised him, this path you're about to take, you will have a challenge. Because even a year's wages cannot feed these people. But Jesus knew a mystery. The Bible said in John chapter 6 verse 6 that Jesus lifted it up and said, thank you, Father. The moment he thanked the Father, he said, take it and share. Thanksgiving is more than 1 year of salary. You have gone to the office working for 14 hours every day, but you have not invested 30 minutes to thank God. Jesus showed us in that scripture that a mini thanksgiving can have more implication than 1 year of salary. Yes, a year's wages can't feed them, but a moment thanksgiving can feed them. And the Bible said they divided the bread. When they were done feeding them, they gathered 12 baskets. How did 5 loaves and 2 fishes become 12 baskets? It's thanksgiving. And so what you have, the quantity of what you have, is not the problem. It is the volume of your thanksgiving that is the problem. When we came here, we didn't have a saving. Not a dime. I said, how much do they sell speakers? They gave me B. The first B they gave us to take off with was over 38 million. I said, am I coming to excavate diamond? Where do I get 38 million? What do you mean? What? Come on, relax. Are you joking? They said, no. These ones are for the things you can manage. I now called a brother. That was nice. When I went to his shop, he said, he stood up and greeted me. I said, thank God. At least this person knows me. He'll be honest. When he saw me, he said, well, the last people who came here to get some quality sound, they spent about 500 million. I said, is it 500 million kwacha? Which currency are you referring to? Is it the same currency you and I? Which 500 million what? He said, no. You'll still have to update it. I went back home with a body. And when I came, God advised me to start thanking him. Better start thanking me now, so that you can change tomorrow into today. Because what thanksgiving does is to bring manifestation before process. So that you can revert the possibility that should have happened in 10 years into today. You can draw it. You can revert the program. Better start thanking me. And I started celebrating God and acted as if nothing happened. On the day of inauguration, I went somewhere to preach. And I came out with 14 million. 14 million. Somebody came from Lagos. He said, I forgot. I'm traveling, but I will come back again. He gave $8,000. And the ravens began to bring the bread. Because when the technology of multiplication begins, even your enemies will begin to work in your favor. Even the stingy will begin to give to you. It's a raven. They say the raven is the most stingy bird. But when a mystery is at work, even the raven can relinquish its bread. Who told you life is difficult? It's difficult if you don't engage mysteries. The flood that destroyed the world was the flood sustaining the ark of Noah. And so what the world calls difficulty can become your advantage. The question is, what do you know? One of the things you must know and do is the ministry of thanksgiving. It's a platform for manifestation. And so when you wake up in the morning, start your day with thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know today is a super exciting day. I know today is a success. I know today is a wonderful day because you have gone ahead of me. Thank you, Jesus. They bring a bad news to you. Before you respond, don't say, what kind of thing is this? As you collect it, say, thank you, Jesus. Even the inspiration to come out will come from that thank you. Even the victory, the power to succeed will come out of that thank you. And so thank you must become your first response. After you now say thank you, then you go to the second response. You say, help me, Lord. So people start by telling God, please help me. Some even go behind, say, God, where are you? He's in heaven. His location has never been in doubt. He has always been in heaven, and he will remain in heaven. But if you want God to come into your situation, before you say, God, where are you? Before you say, God, help me, say, thank you, Jesus. That was the order of Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Before thy kingdom come, before thy will be done on earth, before give us this day our daily bread. You go to God, you say, give us this day our daily bread. You don't know the order. Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb in John 11:41. He said, I thank you, O Father, that you always hear me. That you always hear me. The moment he thanked him, he turned. He said, Lazarus, come forth.
And the Bible said he that was dead came back to life, because the protocol has been kept, the pattern has been observed, the ordinance has been respected. If you thank the Father, the credibility of the Father, the jealousy of the Father is invested into the matter. Believers have not mastered the corridors of thanksgiving. We take thanksgiving for granted and we want to be invincible. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The Bible said, as the wind bloweth, where it listeth. It said, no man knoweth from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit of God. However, for that to become true in your life, there are mysteries you must understand. Because it's a mystery that makes you become like the wind. And one of that mystery is the mystery of thanksgiving. Did you not read Paul's prayer? He said, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. In fact, before he said it in verse 4, he said, I say unto you, rejoice. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. How can I rejoice in the midst of crisis? Because the arsenals are locked somewhere. It will take thanksgiving to open the gates. And he said, be anxious for nothing. He said, in all things, is it debt? Is it debt? Is it sickness? Is it frustration? In all things, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. If you have not thanked, you have no right to request. Yeshua, Yeshua. Is a multiplier. It's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have. And you can have so little, thank God, and come and check, you will marvel. In Jeremiah 30 verse 19, it says, out of them shall come forth the voice of thanksgiving, out of them shall come forth the sounds of melody. And he said, I shall multiply them. I shall multiply them. They shall not be few. I shall increase them. They shall not be small. The key to multiplication is that out of you shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of melody. In Acts 2:47, it said daily they thanked him, they praised him, and he said God added to the church. See, you can do evangelism and add people. You can do program and add people. You will still be limited. But if you want God to add to the church, oh yeah, God does not add to the church the day you go for evangelism. God does not add to the church the day you have a program. He said when God is adding, he adds daily. He said God added to the church daily, such as should be saved. That means you can be sleeping and increasing. You can be walking and increasing. So it's not your walk alone that increases you. There is a technology that makes you increase in and out of season. That technology is called the technology of thanksgiving. God added to the church daily. Listen, my prosperity is daily. My greatness is daily. My victory is daily. It's not up and down. It's that the path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. That is daily increase. When you see me today, come tomorrow, I'll be better. You can never get tired of seeing me, because every day the glory increases. The glory increases. Listen, it's not manipulation that makes people great. There are some people, they create all kinds of lies around themselves and exaggeration to build a momentum. Jesus was very simple. Yet, nobody undermined him. Because the glory increased daily. 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 I speak over somebody. From today, your increase will be daily. Your growth will be daily. Your prosperity will be daily. Your increase will be daily. Did you not read about Jesus? He said, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Because there is a technology of daily increase. He spoke concerning David in 1 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 22. He said, daily men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. It's possible to increase daily. But what are the mysteries you know? One of it is thanksgiving. When you wake up, thank God. When you are at work, thank God. When you are in crisis, thank God. When things are not working, thank God. When things are working, thank God. In and out of season, thank God. That's why I said, pray without ceasing. In the same scripture, it said, give thanks always. Always is an always thing because it's the fuel of the possibilities of your destiny. And finally, thanksgiving is the power that calls the dead back to life. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be in the grave. It's possible that you are rotting. It's possible that you are already smelling. When thanksgiving comes, the program can be reordered. Where did you keep him? Lord, he has been buried for 4 days. Now, his body is smelling. Where did you keep him? There's a mystery that has no regard for time. There's a mystery that has no regard for natural order and protocol. By natural order, he should be smelling. By natural order, 4 days, the brain is already dead. The brain would have decomposed. And so it's not just the power to resurrect you need now. You need the power to resurrect. You need the power for creating miracles. And you need the power for healing. Because after you resurrect him, new brain cells have to be created. New organs have to be created. Even the body cells have to be recreated. And when you recreate them, the sickness that killed him before, you have to heal him. But all of those powers are gathered together in one technology. I thank you, oh Father. I thank you, oh Father. That situation you have reported to everybody, how many times have you thanked God for? There is a power for resurrection. And the precursor for that power is thanksgiving. I don't know what died in your life, but here's the word of the Lord for you. Life has come. Life has come. Resurrection has come. And so whatever, no matter the decadence, I speak over you now on the strength of this truth and on the strength of this corporate atmosphere. Come back to life. I speak over that business. Come back to life. I speak over that family. Come back to life. I speak over that ministry. Come back to life. In the name of Jesus. We are where we are because of the things we take for granted. You don't stroll into a Thanksgiving service. No. No, 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 no. You come into a Thanksgiving service prepared to give God your all. If it's praise, you give all your praise. You gather your best and bring it. Your best. Your best. See, the elders of old were wise. Before the era of the law, they already have mysteries that were engaged, they were engaging in order to thank God. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain and his brother came to offer thanks to God with the first link of their resources. Who taught them the mystery of first fruit? How did they know that the first thing you get is not yours for eating? How did they know that the first of your labor is not for your bank account? Who taught them? And here we are. The second man after Adam understands something that we have not understood. And people are arguing today, first fruit is not of God. And they, oh dear Lord Jesus. Because all they know from the Bible is the dispensation of the law. And that's all they know. And they think that's where God began and ended. I read something from Scofield Bible commentary many years ago that helped my life. The seven dispensations of time. It changed my understanding of scripture forever. The dispensation of the law is one out of seven dispensations. Before the earth was created, there was the dispensation of the celestials, who were the sons of God that governed the earth. They operated purely by obedience. And that's why the moment they rebelled, the earth was destroyed. When man came, there was the dispensation of innocence, where Adam was innocent. There was no law to convict him. Whatever he did was right because he was innocent. Until the only law God gave him, he violated it. And then you had the dispensation of conscience, where God began to deal with men based on what they felt was wrong or right. And that's why Romans chapter 2 tells us that when there was no law, our conscience was a law to us. And then you move to the Abrahamic order, where you had the dispensation of the promise. God began to tell the world he will redeem them. And all of this dispensation, law had not come, but the new tithe. The new first fruit. And you are talking about tithe, first fruit, and you pin it only on the law. You don't know the Bible. Before the law came, elders of old we're already using technologies to harness the realm of God. You want to pin it to one dispensation. I speak over you today. Everything you need to shift to your next level, as we celebrate God now, you receive it in the name of Jesus. Let's thank God before I begin to declare. Let's celebrate God. Praise are you. Are you ready to dance? Are you ready to celebrate God? Two things we'll do here quickly. Number one is to celebrate this God lavishly. Lavishly. If you can dance, dance. If you can sing, sing. Dance anywhere you want. Sing anyhow you want. Dance anyhow you want. It's your way of showing gratitude. And then when we have danced, you will take a substance and drop it to honor the Lord. Are we ready? And next month, you will prepare for it. You won't just throw into service and say, they are thanking God. You will prepare for it. Because something is about to shift in your life. Are you ready? Somebody give the Lord a shout. Take off.
Somebody give Jesus a shout. What are you turning to white? Open the eyes of the faith. There's no one like you. Not like you. Hey, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes.
Out of the ashes.
Let me go.
Whenever I call, you answer. Your blessing before the shower. I cannot repay for all you have done. Jesus, all of you are. He has taken away the sorrow in our people. Everybody says, I got my brother. I got my heart. Because of Jesus. Double.
Thank you. Family. The Bible said Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir gathered around Jehoshaphat to destroy him. But as they thanked the Lord, he said they turn against themselves. I decree now, your enemies fight themselves. Your enemies destroy themselves. The people that can't up against you, the people that gossip you, they begin to destroy themselves. They begin to fight themselves. They begin to pull themselves down. In the name of Jesus. I don't know the prison you are kept in. I don't know that prison of stagnation. I don't know that prison of fear. I don't know that prison of retardation. But the Bible said Paul and Silas, they prayed, they sang, they gave praises to God. And the foundation of that prison was shattered. Right now I speak over you. The foundation of your prison, they are shattered in the name of Jesus. They are shattered in the name of Jesus. They are shattered in the name of Jesus.
Omema na rekele dima. Omema na rekele dima.
inhabit the praises of his people. Because of this place that rose up tonight, I decree an open heaven over you. The Lord go with you every day. The Lord sit upon your business. The Lord sit upon your family. The Lord sit upon your career. The Lord sit upon your ministry. Your dwelling becomes the habitation of God. In the name of Jesus. He said, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And he said, I will increase them. They will not be small. I will glorify them. They will not be few. Now, I decree over you, just as he said, daily, the Lord added to decree. Begin to receive daily increase. Begin to receive daily blessings. Begin to receive daily promotion. Begin to receive daily blessings. And become greater in the name of Jesus. Those who wrote you off, they are about to repent. They are about to ask for forgiveness. Because before this month is over, it looks like it has just 2 days, there will be a visitation. A turnaround visitation. This is the beauty of Thanksgiving. You don't laugh to stop. You laugh to laugh more. Because as you are thanking God, your captivity is torn. When your captivity is torn, then your mouth is full of laughter. And so I decree over you, enter an unending cycle of laughter. Enter an unending cycle of celebration. Enter an unending cycle of increase. In the name of Jesus. For everyone that does not know the next step to take because of the many adversaries, here is your liberty. Here is your deliverance. For the Lord says he has given you a wing. Wings like that of an eagle. And so by the Spirit I prophesy, ascend, fly, and escape. Fly through your window. Fly through your window. You have escaped. And you have stepped into your rest. In the name of Jesus. Hear this. For somebody, February will be the month of testimonies. Before you finish one, another will come. Before you are done with one, another will open. As you are stepping into one door, three others have opened. Because the Lord will decorate you with testimony. The Lord will cover you with his glory. The Lord will put upon you the garment of signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and honor him. Honor the Lord. You have shifted. You have migrated. I see people being perfumed in the spirit. On ground and online. Join the procession of thanksgiving. I see people being perfumed. Perfumed. With the aroma of glory. With the aroma of excellence. With the aroma of favor. And so some of you will become large as systems. Some of you will become as large as cities. Because the Lord just enlarge your capacity. The Lord just widened your coast. You came in as an individual, but you are stepping out as a system. You are stepping out as a city. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. By the Spirit, I speak that into your life. Cease from being a man. Become a city. And not just a city. A city set upon a hill. A city set upon a hill. You want to give the Lord a shout? You want to clap hands? Yeah. You want to celebrate? Come on! Yeah. Stop! Yeah. Stop! Yeah. Stop! Yeah. Hear this. To testify, because the key to the next level is tied to your gratitude. Some of you listen, you will receive testimonies that will become a security concern.
will come to you. You will need a pastor to give that testimony in parables. Because it will be a risk for you to say it. The promotion you will have, hear this, it will become a thing of wisdom. See, there is a level God blesses you to, that you will need wisdom to say it. That is your portion. That is your portion. That is your portion. That is your portion. In the name of Jesus. Send in your testimonies, catalogs of testimonies. Because we are about to see a superlative dimension of God's wonders. Listen, the last day is not a time for us to fear. It's actually the time for us to manifest the greatest glory and power. And I decree, your life will be one of those channels of testimonies. So let it be written. So let it be established. One more time, celebrate this God.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.